Royal Crown is going to town with...
Believe it or not.
Butlers and neighborhood stores who serve you Royal Crown Cola present Bob Ripley with more of his amazing Believe It or Nots, with B.A. Ralph and his orchestra, and lovely Linda Lee.
If I'm any judge, that's a tasty combination. And in judging cola drinks, there's just one thing that counts, and that's taste. In Chicago, 28 certified tests were held in restaurants, hotels, clubs. Royal Crown was tested against other leading colas. What happened? In 25 of the 28 tests, Royal Crown was voted the favorite for flavor. And remember this, every 5-cent bottle of this grand cola drink holds not one, but two big brimful glasses. Try Royal Crown. Enjoy its finer flavor. You'll really go for its pep and sparkle. And you'll be back for more again and again, believe it or not.
And here is that brainy brigadier of a brace of bristling, brilliant, breveted breaks. Believe it or not, Bob Ripley.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the program tonight.
Say, Bob, Linda Lee called up and said that her doctor had forbidden her to be with us tonight. She has a date with a flu germ, which we hope won't last long. But she also said to remind you that last week you asked her if she knew the origin of April Fool's Day.
Yes.
Well, she gives up, and so do I.
Well, it all began like this. 48 centuries ago, Noah's Ark was floating aimlessly about on the waters of the Great Flood. And on the first day of the fourth month, now that's the 1st of April, according to our calendar, it is recorded in Genesis chapter 9 that Noah sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest, and she returned unto him into the ark. You see, Noah was fooled by the dove. And since then, for the last 4,800 years, the 1st of April has been known as April Fool's Day.
No fooling.
No fooling, that's the truth.
That jaunty G-Hue of jive, B.A. Ralph and his orchestra, salutes the jitterbugs with Hold Tight. Okay, B.A.
Thank you.
And now that we have saluted the jitterbugs of the old good old USA, I notice by the papers that Mussolini is giving the jitters to Europe by invading Albania. Well, there's nothing to get the jitters about anyway, in my opinion. I visited Albania a few years ago, and I found that Mussolini has been controlling Albania for years. I met King Zog, who is an up-to-date young monarch and as independent as possible under the circumstances. He gave me a cigarette holder on that occasion, which I have in my hand now. And this cigarette holder, by the way, is 2 feet 10 inches long. You know, the Albanians never heard the word Albania. They call their country Skuperia, the country of the eagle people. You see, they live in the mountains. And the coat of arms, or the great seal of the United States, the eagle with arrows in its talons, was taken from Albania. Recently, Mussolini said he must have a share in the direction of the Suez Canal, which is Italy's lifeline to her new empire in Ethiopia. And during my research in connection with the motion picture Suez, I uncovered an amazing, believe it or not, bearing on Italy's claim to the Suez Canal. I would like to sketch it for you now. The time is spring, 1935. The place, a shabby tenement in the city of Verona, Italy. Several policemen are trying vainly to gain entrance to a house, and one policeman knocks on the door.
Open in the name of the law. Signora, I warn you, if you continue to defy the law, we shall be compelled to break down the door.
I am not afraid of your threats. I'll die before I give up my home. Law or no law.
Very well, then. Then, break the door down.
Just a minute, just a minute.
What?
I'm Angelo Bussi, a lawyer. May I ask why you're trying to break down the door, Signora Negrelli?
We have a dispossess order on Signora Negrelli for non-payment of rent. It amounts to 232 lira and 19 centesimi. You intend to pay it, perhaps?
I'd like to talk to Signora Negrelli first. May I?
I don't know whether I should or
not. Per piacere, please.
Well, go ahead.
Grazie. Signora Negrelli. Signora Negrelli, will you please come to the door?
Who are you?
I am Angelo Busso, a lawyer. I have been sent to you on very important business by the French government. Will you please come to the window and talk to me?
The French government?
Si, signor.
Very well. I will come to the window. Now, what do you want?
You are the daughter of Luigi Negrelli who drew the plans for the Suez Canal?
Of course I am. But what is the meaning of this?
I am here to offer you on behalf of the French government the sum of 1 million lire.
1 million lire? You must be joking, sir.
Your father drew the plans for the Suez Canal.
Si.
As such, he was entitled to 200 shares in the canal. But unfortunately, he died before he could receive them.
And now the 200 shares belong to me?
Exactly. My client, the government of France, offers you 1 million lire. I have it here in this little bag, in cash.
You do an old lady a favor and pay 232 lire to the officer there so I may open the door without fear.
I shall be most happy to oblige. Here you are, officer. 232 lire and 19 centesimi. And here is 10 lire for a cigar.
Oh, grazie, signor. Here is your receipt. Adios, signor. Adios.
Adios, adios, adios.
Come right in, signor Busso.
Grazie.
Now, if I sign your paper for you, how soon can I have the money?
This instant.
Signor Busso, let me sign the paper and give me the money quick.
Signore, come quickly. The government, the palace at Rome, is calling you on my telephone.
Signora Negrelli, sign this paper quickly. I must go.
Hurry, signore. You cannot keep him away.
I'm coming. Si. But first I must get my money. Where do I sign, signor?
Right here, signora Negrelli.
All right. Now, give me the pen.
Hurry, signore. The call is still waiting. Here is the telephone. Quick, take the receiver.
Hello, I'm listening.
Si, signora Negrelli speaking. Daughter of Luigi Negrelli.
Si, signor. Who is this?
This is Benito Mussolini. At last we have found him.
You duce.
Signora Negrelli, on behalf of the Italian government, I am prepared to pay you 2 million lire for your rights in the Suez Canal.
2 million lire?
That is right, for your shares. Do you accept?
Signor, I mean, Your Excellency.
Is not 2 million lire enough?
Your Excellency, you're too late. I have just sold my shares in the canal for a measly 1 million lire to the government of France.
And that is exactly what happened. Only 4 years ago, the Italian government lost an opportunity to buy an interest in the Suez Canal by a matter of minutes. If Mussolini had telephoned 5 minutes earlier, Italy and not France would have obtained Signora Negrelli's shares. And this true incident that I have just sketched may so deeply affect world affairs that eventually peace or war may depend upon it, believe it or not.
B.A. Rolfe and the orchestra swing into the torrid tempo of the latest Coles Porter Smackaroo. My Heart Belongs to Daddy. Everybody, pull your chairs up close to your radios. I've got a very short message about Royal Crown.
The cola that won the certified taste test?
Right.
The cola with a richer, smoother flavor that's so good, so pure, it bears the good housekeeping seal?
Right.
The cola that has 2 full glasses in every bottle?
Right again. In a series of certified tests from coast to coast, Royal Crown was preferred for flavor to all other cola drinks tested. Royal Crown costs only 5 cents a bottle.
Even less if you get the handy 6-bottle home carton, which costs only a quarter. It gives you 12 generous glasses of the sparkling, zestful, tangy drink that wins friends everywhere. Whenever you want a cola drink, just remember that name, Royal Crown.
That's right, folks. Royal Crown's a friendly drink. And when you try it, we just know you're going to like it. Why, just this week, Royal Crown Cola was put on sale in St. Louis. And in taste tests conducted on the university campus, Royal Crown got twice as many votes as two other popular colas combined.
Tonight is Texas Night on the Believe It or Not program. Of course, we all know that Texas is the largest state in the Union. But it may be surprising to know that it's larger than any country in Europe except Russia. It has 57 counties, each larger than the state of Rhode Island, and it contains a river 1,200 miles long entirely within its borders. Now listen to this. If all the people who have lived on Earth since the world began were placed in Texas, each one would have more than 10 square feet to himself. And so you see, it's only fitting that this amazing state should be the setting for my next Believe It or Not. So tonight, I've invited the first citizen of Texas to be my guest of honor, the chief executive. And it's with extreme pleasure that I now present His Excellency, the Honorable Leo Daniel, Governor of Texas, who will present my next Believe It or Not from Austin, Texas.
And good evening, Colonel Bob Ripley, and greetings to you and your audience from the great big state of beautiful Texas. Bob, you're right. We do things in a great big way here in Texas, and to prove it, I'm going to give you an example, or rather, 4 examples, I might say. To my knowledge, we have here in Texas the only set of male quadruplets in the world. 4 boys born at the same time. I believe this record cannot be matched anywhere in the world today. They were born on Halloween night, 1929, on a small vegetable farm outside Beaumont, Texas. The Paracoon quadruplets were delivered by an humble country doctor. They were normal, healthy children, and were fed the usual baby foods. They thrived without incubators or any specialized medical care. Certainly, they are an eloquent testimonial to the healthful climate of Texas. It is with great pleasure that I present the only male quadruplets in the world today, the Paracoon quadruplets. All right, boys, count off from left to right. A, B, C, D.
I'm Anthony.
I'm Bernard.
I'm Cora.
I'm Dal.
Well, now, which one of you boys will speak for the rest?
I'm Anthony, and I will speak for my brothers.
Well, now, have you any other brothers at home?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, 5 brothers besides us, 4.
9, eh? Well, that's a regular baseball team, boys.
Yes, and baseball is our favorite game, too.
Well, now, being quads must be a great experience. What was your biggest thrill?
Meeting the governor of our state and being on this program with Bob Ripley.
Well, now, what are your plans for marriage, boys?
We got trouble. The key quads are too old for us. The magic quads are too young for us. The D-amplitudes are 1 too many.
Well, quads, you have double trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, the boys have brought their accordions along, and they tell me they're pretty good, too. What will you play, boys?
We'd like to play the song that you wrote, Governor, Beautiful Texas.
All right, that's fine. Beautiful Texas, it shall be.
Thank you.
mighty fine, boys. And Colonel Bob Ripley, you've heard from four little citizens of whom the state of Texas is justly proud, the Paraquone Quadruplets of Beaumont, Texas. They are 9 years old and growing fast. Later in the program, I shall return to present another amazing Texan. In the meantime, I transfer you to Colonel Bob Ripley in New York.
Thank you, Governor O'Daniel. And congratulations to the Paraquone Quadruplets. And now for the real hero of this program. He's a Texan who stands all by himself. But to give you an idea of his heroism, let me draw a Believe It or Not sketch for you. It happened on June the 10th, 1938, just about 9 months ago. The place, a lonely, desolate road near Clyde, Texas. It's night, and the countryside is silent as it can be after a twisting, savage cyclone has swept over the land. Everywhere there is desolation, for a wind has whirled over the flat wheat fields, destroying houses, uprooting trees, and laying waste the land. As our scene opens, we find W.E. George and R.Z. Landrum, two telephone linemen, fighting their way through mud and water.
Hey, Landrum. Flashlight light over there by the ditch. It's so wet and muddy here, I can't see a thing.
I almost fell into that ditch.
Yeah.
It's slippery going here. The pit of water in that ditch is 3 feet deep.
Cold, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that twist is sure tore up the country, all right. We've got 19 key telephone lines down.
Yeah.
Landrum.
Huh?
What's that?
What's what? I didn't hear anything.
Mama. Mama.
There. Kid, somebody's calling.
Mama. Mama. Help me.
Here's a voice.
Help.
Where is it?
Flash the light over there. To the right. Higher. Look. It's a little boy. Quick. Let's get... Come on. He's up to his neck in water. Help me pull him up.
It's all right.
It's all right. Okay, sonny, we got you. Everything's going to be all right.
Hey,
George, he's holding the little baby. You take the baby. I got the
right.
Boy. Easy, sonny, easy. Then wrap the baby in your coat.
He's so quiet. I wonder. Oh, no, I can feel his heartbeat.
Come on.
He's all right.
Come on, Landon. We've got to get these kids to the hospital quick.
Yeah.
That's all right now, sonny. We'll find your mama for you.
Tell her I took care of baby in the water.
Those two telephone linemen did take that small boy and the baby to the hospital. There they found that the boy, Donald Rutledge, was only 3 years old, and the baby was not quite 1 year old. So great was the heroism of that little 3-year-old boy that I've asked the governor of Texas to introduce him to you and to tell you the rest of this thrilling and heroic incident. The next voice you will hear will be that of Governor O'Daniel of Texas speaking to his state's smallest hero, Donald Rutledge.
Now come over here, son, and tell me your name, won't you? That's fine. Tell us your name.
I'm Donald, and I'm 3 years old.
You're Donald Rutledge and 3 years old. Well, who is this with you, Donald?
Granddaddy Johnson.
Granddaddy Johnson. Well, I'm glad to meet you, Grandpa Johnson. How does it feel to be the grandfather of a hero?
I'm proud of the boy.
Well, now, Mr. Johnson, we have here in the studio with us another visitor, Mr. Landrum, the telephone lineman who took Donald and his baby brother out of that ditch. Mr. Landrum, did you find out how the children got in that ditch?
Yes. When the cyclone struck, the parents of the little boys left home in their car, hoping to drive to a cyclone cellar. They drove about 1 mile when the cyclone hit the car and turned it over. The children were thrown into the ditch, and little Donald held his baby brother's head above the water for 4 hours, saving his life.
Well, now tell us what happened to the parents.
They were found afterwards. They had been hurled through the air by the force of the cyclone for more than a mile. When we reached them, they had been dead for 4 hours.
May their souls rest in peace. Wherever they are, I know they must be mighty proud of their little boy, Donald.
Yes, Governor, and as long as I live, Don, little Don and Daryl are going to have a home and care and all the love I can give them.
Mr. Johnson, in the heroic action of little Donald, there is a lesson for all of us. No matter how desperate things may seem, just hold on and have faith and courage to carry on. Donald, in behalf of the people of this great state of Texas, and for the great radio audience, I salute you, Texas Public Hero Number One.
Thank you, Governor O'Daniel. And I assure you that the whole country joins me in saluting little Donald Rutledge as United States Hero Number One. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard the amazing account of how little Donald Rutledge, when he was just 3 years old, stood in a ditch in freezing water up to his neck, unable to climb the slippery sides of the ditch, and for 4 hours, he held his baby brother's head above the water. The parents of the children perished in that cyclone. It was only through this boy's unbelievable act of heroism that the lives of both of these children were saved. Believe it or not.
Who drank 7 million more bottles of Royal Crown Cola last year than in 1936?
7 million bottles more? Who could drink that many?
The people of Louisville, Kentucky could and did. Believe it or not, that's how many more bottles were sold and consumed in Louisville than 2 years ago. In city after city, day after day, more folks are buying and trying Royal Crown. Why? Because it's tops in taste. Because it has tang and zest and zip. Why don't you try Royal Crown? Why don't you see for yourself how much your 5 cents can buy? 2 big brimful glasses of this sparkling, delicious drink in every bottle. And don't forget that handy home carton that holds 6 bottles, 12 full glasses, and the cost is only 25 cents. Get one of these handy home cartons tomorrow. And whenever you stop for a cool, refreshing drink, remember to say, make mine Royal Crown.
Well, it's problem time again, Bob.
Yeah?
And Linda wants you to give me the problem, and I'll pass it along to her.
All right, if you will. Tell me, Bud, where is the Sea of Matrimony?
I'm afraid you've got me, Bob. Is there really a Sea of Matrimony?
Yes, there's actually a Sea of Matrimony. Now, where is it?
Well, okay, Bob, as an old Navy man, I'll try to help Linda solve that.
Okay, Bud. And next week, I hope Linda has fully recovered and can give me the answer. During these troubled times, I think it appropriate to recall that 1,909 years ago, next Sunday, Easter Sunday, the Lord arose from his tomb and stood in the midst before his mother and Mary Magdalene, and he saith unto them his last words on earth, peace be unto you.
Next week at this same time, the bottlers and the neighborhood stores who serve you Royal Crown Cola will again present Bob Ripley with more of his amazing Believe It or Nots, with B.A. Rolfe and his orchestra and lovely Linda Lee. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.